And that was May God Bestow on Us His Grace. It is a hymn we're going to be taking a look at on Law and Gospel on this March the 14th in the year of our Lord 2017. And being a Rumination Tuesday, we have with us our good friend, Reverend Mark Smith. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Tom. I thought spring was here.
It is.
What happened?
What happened? Why? What's
wrong? Oh, it snowed 2-3 days in a row here.
Oh, it's snowing?
Yes, it is snowing.
Oh, I don't notice that because somebody else in the house goes out and removes all the snow from the car, so I'm not aware of that. I get in the car, it's all snow-free. In order to get here, do you have any traffic problems?
No, not bad at all. No, yeah. Not too bad at all.
No, luckily we're not in New York.
Yeah, although it's not as bad there as they thought it'd be.
Yes, but they've closed schools. And
right. Oh, yes.
Chicago's pretty bad, too. Yeah, we haven't had too bad weather at all.
It's been a mild winter.
Yep. And I can tell that when I get the gas bill for the house.
Sure.
Yep. That's pretty good. May God bestow on us His grace. Should I ask you again? Is this one written by Martin Luther?
Yes, this is. It sure is. It sure is.
Yes. And in fact, the hymnal we're looking at has two versions.
Same words, I think.
Yeah, same words, but different tune. The one tune that Luther used was from Magdeburg in 1524. The other tune is by David Lee, who was born in 1956.
Yeah, how about that? That's an updated tune, huh?
Yes. I think we should read the first stanza.
Okay. May God bestow on us His grace, with blessings rich provide us, and may the brightness of His face to life eternal guide us, that we His saving health may know, His gracious will and pleasure, and also to the nations show Christ's riches without measure, and unto God convert them.
All right, I'm trying to tell my children what this hymn is about. What's the passage they're talking about, and may the brightness of His face? Where does that come from? Or what does that mean?
The brightness of His face. I don't know. Could that be talking, is that a reference to the Transfiguration, or?
Well, it's under the category of mission and witness.
Right.
And the only thing I can think of is may God bestow on us His grace. That's the brightness of His face, His grace.
His grace, yes.
Yes. Because when you come to Jesus and believe in Him, I am the way, the truth, and the
life.
Life. So the brightness of His face, we see it in a different way when we have faith and when we don't. Particularly during this Lenten season, how many people who deny Jesus is God will do all kinds of gymnastics to get around the plain text of Scripture, that He is God. And what is the goal of every sermon? What are the two main doctrines?
Law and gospel.
Right. Does the law give us the brightness of His face?
No.
No. In fact, I have said this 1,000 times when I was doing orals for the doctorate. A question was asked, what are the means of grace? And I said, law and gospel. And the professor looked at me and said, what was that? And I said, oh, no, just the gospel. The reason we would think that the law is also a means of grace is that it is a tool the Holy Spirit uses.
That's right.
But I now say that the law is a means of wrath, and the gospel is a means of grace.
Yeah, the law brings us to our knees.
Yes, and we don't consider the brightness of His face when we hear the law.
No.
Because we hear condemnation, sin, etc. It's kind of like,
I was going to say, it's like when the children of Israel, the Israelites, were gathered at the foot of Mount Horeb.
Yeah.
And remember, they said, oh, Moses, you talk to us. We don't want God talking directly to us. It scared them to death.
Thunderings
and lightnings
and such.
and the sound. It just they couldn't take it. It was terrible.
Well, the Old Testament reading for this Sunday coming up is them in the wilderness complaining about not having water.
Oh yes.
And so you can just see their faces are glum, and Moses says, "Why are you testing the Lord?" You know, as though you don't think he's here. But then when the water came out of the rock, you can imagine the brightness of their face.
Yes.
So the brightness of the face of God becomes apparent, not when you hear the law, but when you hear the gospel.
Right.
And that's why the gospel is a bestowal of his grace. And what is that grace? It's blessings that are rich and provide us. You see, grace is that which we don't deserve. We get something we don't deserve. And that makes the brightness of your face. You know, we were talking about that in Bible study, how a lot of times if a person expects you to do something, especially if they have done something wrong to you, they expect you to do something wrong to them. And when you turn around and don't do that, it surprises them.
It sure does.
Yeah. And they get a brightness of the face type of thing. I don't know if your parents ever disciplined you, because you never sinned when you were a kid, were you?
Oh, yeah. I got disciplined. Absolutely.
But can you imagine, they say a discipline, let's say you're not allowed to watch TV for 5 nights, and then they come back and they change it, well, it's just tonight. And how relieved you are when something like that happens. But I don't know how your parents disciplined you. Oh, you're not going to tell me?
No, okay. I'm not going to tell you. spare the rod, spoil the child, that kind of thing.
You know? Okay, I'll ask your wife and see how you discipline her.
we got the firm hand of discipline sometimes.
That even happened in school.
Oh, yes. I remember sitting in school. There was a paddle hanging on the wall right in front of all of us to see.
I know.
And it was applied to us. It was once applied to me. I can remember it.
Yeah, the one that we got was a leather strap.
Leather strap.
Yeah. On the hand.
Yeah, they always used paddles in my schools.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, now if a teacher does that, they get arrested.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
I give a lot of credit to teachers, because if it's not the law that comes after them, it's the parents.
Right. You know, yeah, in our day, if we got disciplined like that, and if our parents got wind of it, we'd get disciplined again when we got home.
Yes, yeah, yeah. No, it's a little different.
We survived.
Did you?
I said we survived.
Oh, yeah, okay, all right.
Didn't hurt us.
May God bestow on us his grace. We talked about that we his saving health may know. Now, I think you'd have to explain that to a child. What is saving health?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh.
saving health.
Salvation.
Salvation.
Remember, the word health in the original language can mean either physical health or spiritual health. The same way as when Jesus heals someone of their sins, he gives forgiveness. When he heals them of their physical problems, like being blind, etc., then he heals them physically. But saving health may know, which is his gracious will and pleasure. You know.
So you're saying saving health is spiritual. It's forgiveness, life, and salvation.
Well, look at the line just before, that we as saving health may know. What's it say?
His gracious will and pleasure.
No.
Oh, the
line right before.
To life eternal guide us.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
Context is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Luther mean by that? Well, you look just what he's just said. So the saving health, and it saves us. Because what health is in that sense is that we're now made pure. We're washed in the waters of baptism, and we're clear and pure. And that is his gracious will and pleasure. There's even a Bible verse that says, that God desires what? All men.
That all men be saved.
Yes.
And come to the knowledge of the truth.
Exactly. And that's what how I would understand his gracious will and pleasure. One of the things you can do in going over these hymns with your children, in some hymnals, like the one we're using, there are a few Bible verses at the bottom.
Yes.
But there are many, many more that a proper hymn, especially one by Luther,
right,
that you can find and say, well, maybe this is what he had in mind. And also to the nation show. Well, aren't we part of the nations?
Sure.
Well, no, we aren't. The word nation has a specific meaning.
Oh, you mean the heathen.
The heathen.
The heathen.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Paul talks about there's now no distinction between Jew and
Gentile.
And sometimes they talk that as the nations. And what is able to be shown to the nations? Christ's riches without measure. And unto God convert them. Now, that is really critical. I think a lot of people may miss that last phrase.
Well, that really clears up the nations. It makes it yes, obvious that they're the unbelievers.
Yes, context is everything. But what's the process or what's the means by which these people are converted?
By the gospel.
And that's defined as Christ's riches without measure. Let's see, isn't there a acronym for gospel? Or is it grace?
Grace.
Yeah, what is that? You can't.
God's riches. What does A stand for? God's riches.
Boy, I don't know.
Grace.
I've heard that a bunch
God's
of times.
God's riches at his expense?
Could be.
God's riches at Christ's expense. That's
right. That's right.
God's riches at Christ's expense.
And do you hear what that last line says? Christ's riches without measure.
Right.
And so that's the effect of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. He's the one that paid, not us. And that's how you convert people to God. In other words, we don't convert people to God by our reason. Because the Bible is totally unreasonable. We don't convert people to God by evidence, because there is no evidence for what we believe. If you go to any congregation and you stand before them, is there any evidence that every one of those people are a sinless saint?
No.
No. Yes. And that's the essence of Christianity, that it doesn't matter what you consider. What matters is what God considers.
Okay, how do you deal with the passage by their fruits you will know them?
Yes.
How do you reconcile that passage with?
I believe that the word fruit there doesn't just refer to works, but it refers to their confession. And how does a pastor know that he should be communing someone?
You have to take them at their word.
That's right.
You can't really look at their heart. Only God can look at their
heart. That's very good.
You have to take them at their confession, as you say.
I've said many a time, we're pastors not of the private ministry, but of the public ministry. And so we do take people at their word.
Their public profession.
Yes, and in fact, I'm just finishing up some adult instruction classes at Trinity Orchard Farm. We hope to start some more right after Easter. But there'll be probably 8 people joining Trinity. And how are they joining? They're joining. I keep looking at them and saying, I'm not going to make the decision whether you join or not. You're going to make the decision on the basis of whether you agree with the doctrine which we teach. And that's why they're going through confirmation right now, in order to alert them as to what is the doctrine of this particular church. Because, and Pastor Gott, the former pastor, had a really excellent kind of communion policy. Besides other things, one of the things he says in there, when you take communion in our church, you're saying you're in agreement with the teaching of this church. And so, like I've got a person who's a wonderful Christian, but I'm not allowing him to commune yet.
Because he's not in full agreement yet.
No, he's not in knowledge that he's in full agreement.
I see. He's, well,
that's a huge difference.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, I have had some people in confirmation, I'm sure you have too, that aren't in full agreement. Like, they'll come in and maybe they want to get married or something like this, and they're marrying somebody who really hasn't been in church that much. I remember one time I said, is Jesus God? And the person said, I don't know. And so...
Well, at least they're open to instruction, right?
Oh, absolutely. And now they've gone through it, and they do confess that, and many other teachings that they're unaware of. I mean, nobody who's an unbeliever understands the Lord's Supper.
No.
It's impossible, because it's not something that's commonsensical. It has to be revealed by God. And that's really what I find interesting. You're going through adult instruction, and you're having some questions at the beginning, knowing they don't know. But by the time of the end of adult instruction, like when we get to baptism and Lord's Supper, we say, and here's what God's word said, and they accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just by hearing. In fact, what's that Romans 10 passage, how people come to faith?
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Exactly. And that's what the end of this text says here, that we convert people to God by telling them about God's riches without measure. And that's, of course, the cross,
right,
the resurrection, etc. I'll read stanza 2.
There's a reference in stanza 2 about that. I don't know why it's not mentioned at the bottom of the page, but I think it refers to...
Why don't I read it
Psalm 23.
So we can find out.
All right.
Thine over all shall be the praise and thanks of every nation, and all the world with joy shall raise the voice of exultation. For thou shalt judge the earth, O Lord, nor suffer sin to flourish. Thy people's pasture is thy word, their souls to feed and nourish, in righteous paths to keep them. Okay, where's Psalm 23?
In thy people's pasture is thy word, their souls to feed and nourish. In green pastures he leads us.
Yes.
Pastures of his word and sacrament.
That's good. That the
Don't you see the 23rd Psalm there? I do.
No, I was just wondering if you did. Because what's interesting in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. He leads me beside
still waters.
Now, yes, that's not in here. Instead,
it
talks
pasture
about in righteous paths to keep them. What would be a righteous path?
Thy word is, thy word is a light unto my path.
Yep. It seems to me.
That passage go?
Well, you're the one who thought of it.
Thy word is a light unto my path. I can't think of the rest of it.
Is it in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes. The point I wanted to make here is when you ask a question, what is a righteous path, you begin by answering, what is an unrighteous path? The unrighteous path would be to lead them to waters that are not still.
Right.
A righteous path is to lead them to waters that are still, so when they drink, it doesn't envelop their wool and they drown. And so next week, come back with the rest of that verse.
Okay.
I'll give you an assignment. Would you read stanza 3?
All right. Stanza 3. Oh, let the people praise thy worth in all good works increasing. The land shall plenteous fruit bring forth. Thy word is rich in blessing. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit bless us. Let all the world praise him alone. Let solemn awe possess us. Now let our hearts say, Amen.
And a child might ask, what do you mean by solemn awe?
Solemn awe?
Yeah.
Let's see. We should fear and love God. Solemn awe?
Yeah, awe means to regard God with great praise, etc. I didn't know this until I did the sermon Sunday at Trinity Orchard Farm, but remember the Bible passage says, if Abraham has become righteous by his works. He has something of which to boast, but not before God.
Not before God.
Yes. And so I looked up the word boast, and you know what the Hebrew is used for? It's the word hallelujah. It's part of the word hallelujah. So when they say hallelujah on Palm Sunday, they're boasting about Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And so the sermon was pretty simple. Improper boasting is boasting about yourself, especially saying, look at all the good works I do. I'm going to heaven. Proper boasting, there's two kinds. You can boast about God for all that he's done, but you can also boast about other people.
Yeah. I can do all things through Christ,
yes,
who strengthens me.
And you can talk about, boasting. And I did mention, like at Trinity, many of the volunteers, et cetera, and people on boards. And I understand you're changing your constitution to get rid of boards.
No.
Oh, you're not? Oh, I thought that's what I thought.
No. We are revising our constitution, though.
Yes. Yes, that's something we really look forward to doing.
Yes.
No, they've had a constitution at Tree Orchard Farm. I don't think they've revised it much. There can be some clarification every now and then. But, boy, I never did like revising constitutions. It just seems like a waste of ministerial time.
Maybe for you. I think it's important.
Yeah, well, each his own. So, what's really important here, good works come in the third verse, but they're a result of our praise. See, oh, let the people praise thy worth in all good works increasing.
Right.
So this is a real good long gospel thing. Good works cannot precede your praising of God.
Yeah, without faith it is impossible to please God.
Well said. In other words, we're talking here not about justification, but
sanctification.
Yes. So we aren't against good works. We're only against them when you use them thinking that thereby you're meriting heaven.
Yeah. Boasting, if you're boasting
about
it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because then guess what? You're a theologian of self-glory.
Glory. Right.
Yeah, you give glory to yourself rather than to God.
We give all glory to God. Everything belongs to him.
Exactly, and that's why...
Without him, we can't do a thing.
That's why fasting for some people is good. Although I was listening to another talk show recently, and the guy said, what I gave up is Lent, for Lent. I don't think he was a Christian, so... All righty. May God bestow on us his grace. You going to sing it this Sunday?
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
Yeah.
It's always good during communion, because don't you do communion every Sunday?
Oh, yes, every weekend, right.
Yes.
Pretty much, right.
Yeah. Excellent.
If we don't do it Sunday, we'll do it Saturday evening.
And your church at?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, just south of the Watson, New Sappington intersection. We have a service 9 o'clock Sunday morning, or if you can't make Sunday, we have a service at 5 p.m. Saturday evening.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.